Well, tonight, in our last time together, I want to take you someplace very special. I want to take you to Psalm number 103. Psalm number 103. I'll give you a minute to turn there or punch it up, whichever you're doing. This modern time we have, and so many people carry their Bibles on an electronic device, which is good. It's easy to get to. Plus, you can pull up the version, whoever the person is you're listening to is reading from. And I use, as you know, the New American Standard Version. Psalm 103. You know, in Mark chapter 6, we get Mark's account of our Lord sending the 12 apostles out in pairs to preach. You remember he sent them out and told them not to take anything. Don't take a change of clothes. Don't take anything with you. Just go. And they did. And we don't have any details of that necessarily, but when they came back, it was right before the feeding of the 5,000. And when they came back, ever how long they were gone, and it was during the time of the beheading of John the Baptist, but when they came back, Mark said they came to the Lord and reported to him everything they had done. And I don't know how you report to God about something. I mean, I can only envision a child telling their parent about something that their parents have known all their life. But anyway, they did. And when they got done, he told them, he said, I want you to come away to a place, a private place. I want you to rest. And I thought that was fitting because I want to take you tonight to a place of rest and peace. I want you to rest. I want you to enjoy what we're going to talk about. I want you to just meditate upon the goodness of our blessed Savior. And meditate on His grace to us. And I just want you to rest in this and just enjoy it. I hope I can give it to you in that way, because that is my intention. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 kind of sneaks up on you. It's a gem. I call it a gem of grace. It kind of shows up just out of nothing. It comes up in just the right place in Scripture. And I'm going to read it in just a moment. It kind of pops up like an oasis in the middle of a desert. We all know what an oasis is. We learned that in school. The dryness and the bleakness of the desert for hundreds and hundreds of miles, and all of a sudden, here's a place that is green and beautiful and restful. That's what Psalm 103 is. Psalm 103 is placed, as all the texts in the Scripture are now. I've told you all through our time together, there's no verse in the Bible that's there by mistake. It's not there for nothing. It's there for a reason. And I tell you the same thing about this. The placement of everything that's in your Bible is there for a purpose. And one only has to kind of look at it and consider whatever text they're reading, how it falls within the context of the chapter they're in, or the area they're in, or the book they're in, how it all fits in together, but it's there for a purpose. Psalm 103 is not any different. In Psalm 22, we have the words of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we have the Psalm of the Cross of this, the Savior as he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the details of his suffering in that Psalm 22. And right after it is the beautiful Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord couldn't be our shepherd unless Psalm 22 had taken place first. The Holy Spirit placed it perfectly in order where it should be. There's more hymns, Christian hymns, been written on Psalm 23 than any other psalm. Second to that is Psalm 103. Even the old familiar hymn, and we all know it, "It is well with my soul," has its basis in Psalm 103. And just like Psalm 23 and Psalm 103 and the psalm right previous, Psalm 102, the writer says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come up to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me in the day when I call. Please answer quickly. For my days have been consumed in smoke, and my bones have been scorched like a hearth. My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away. Indeed, I forget to eat my bread. Because of the loudness of my groanings, my bones cling to my flesh." That's Psalm 102. And right after it comes this wonderful Psalm 103. And it starts off with a very familiar line. And it's even in a hymn that we sing. "Bless the Lord," and I'm not going to sing it to you. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what a beautiful beginning and a beautiful ending. And that should be the attitude of our hearts. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Tell us ourselves that many times during the day. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lift up praise and thanksgiving to the one who loves us and gave himself for us. This psalm is not for someone who doesn't know the Lord. This is for a Christian. This is for someone who lives every day as a Christian. This is someone who knows what good days are and bad days are. But one who understands and knows that every day knowing the Lord is a good day. This psalm is for a forgiven soul. This psalm is one who knows what it's like to go to the foot of the cross. This psalm is for one who understands and knows that no matter what life brings, no matter how old we get, no matter how bad we hurt, he is never, ever going to leave us, and he's never going to forsake us. And like us, most of us, all of us, we've lived a long time as a Christian. And that understanding seems to grow, and I think it did here in the heart of David. The psalm is attributed to him. I don't see why it wouldn't. It sounds like something he would write. It's in his style. In his older years, and certainly David understood the mercies and the kindnesses of the Lord. You know, David is known as the man after God's own heart, but David's sin is plain and open in front of all of us. He was not an innocent man by any means. He had some serious sins, especially with Uriah and Bathsheba, and all of them went through that. But he was known as a man after God's own heart. And here he lifts up praise to God and the Holy Spirit through him. And it's kind of a strange understanding to understand Scripture, because we know that the Holy Spirit himself, God himself, writes Scripture, but it comes through the pen and the personality of the man who's doing the writing. And you can easily tell the difference. For instance, you can tell the difference between Peter's writing and Paul's, between Matthew's, Mark's, Luke's, and John's. And certainly between David, because David was known as the songster, is how they put it, of Israel. And certainly he wrote many, many, many songs that are included in the Psalms. Psalm 103 is a wonderful beginning to four psalms of praise to God that ends book 4 of Psalms. The Psalms have 5 books, and Psalm 103, 104, 105, and 106 end book 4. And every one of them, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104 begins with, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 105, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. And Psalm 106, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. All of them encourage the reader to praise God and to make that a part of our life. Make that an everyday part of our life, to praise and love God for all the blessings and wonders that He has given us. Psalm 103 through 106 are about God. They're not about us. Psalm 103 isn't. It's about the benefits that we have from Him. I challenge you, do this week. Read all four of them. And every time you see the name of God or a personal pronoun that refers to Him, circle it in your Bible. And if you don't write in your Bible, take a pad and make a strike. Every time. I can tell you, and I'll give you kind of a booster start, okay? Psalm 103 contains 46 references to God's name or a personal pronoun that refers to Him, just in this one psalm. Now, I know how many is in the next one, but I'm not going to tell you. You can find that out for yourself. Psalm 104, the blessed psalm of creation, the song of creation. All of these psalms are lifting up praise and blessings to God. Beloved, that's our privilege. That's our privilege. Did you know that you and I have the privilege to talk directly to the Holy One, the Creator? And it's hard to get that in our minds. The One who sits above the heavens. I don't know how far the universe goes. It's infinite. NASA says if you travel at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second, in 225 trillion years, you'll get to the edge of the universe. They don't know. It's limitless. But yet, our God sits above the universe. And Solomon said, speaking to God and talking about Him and praying to Him, the heavens cannot contain you. How can our mind fathom something like that? But yet, Hebrews chapter 4 encourages us to come before the throne of grace that we may find help in time of need. We come and in the righteousness of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And here the psalmist encourages us not once, but twice. Bless the Lord, O my soul, he says. And then he goes on to say, let all that is within me bless his holy name. Constantly, not only outwardly, not only do I bless God to you, what of me you can see, but from my soul and my heart, Lord, may I bless your holy name. That be an attitude of who we are, and to be a filling of our soul to bless and praise this glorious God who created us and upholds all things by the power of his might. You know, we've heard a lot over the last few weeks about the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. I'm actually kind of tired of hearing about it. But I mean, it was a wonderful accomplishment. But I saw a photograph the other day that one of the astronauts took from the moon of the Earth. And there the beautiful blue Earth is. It just sits there on nothing. You can't find a foundation or a beam under it nowhere, Danny. There ain't no concrete poured under it to hold it where it's at. It's held there by the power of his might, Colossians tells us, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who holds all things together, the one who never sleeps. As we go to sleep tonight, we'll sleep and we'll rest, and he won't. He's up all night. And he'll be there in the morning when we wake up. And the scriptures say, his mercies are new to us every day. That should be plenty for us to praise God about. And he says it again, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he tells us, Don't forget his benefits. What are the benefits of knowing Christ? What are the benefits of our Lord? Well, it says, who pardons all of your iniquities. Do you know how many sins God has against you? None. Yeah, but Walter, this morning, but you don't know what I thought. You don't know what I have to deal with every day. You don't know the fight in my mind and the temptation and the remembrance of sin that I am battled with every day. You don't know how mad I got yesterday. Colossians says, he has forgiven us all our transgressions. All our transgressions. The psalmist here wrote that he pardons all your iniquities. When did he write this? Long before you and I ever came on the scene. And so first we praise God because he's forgiven our sin. You see, we were at war with God. The person who's outside of Christ is at war with God. They may not know it. And they may have an attitude like most of the world does. Well, God just loves me and loves everybody. But if you go to the end of John chapter 3 and read, the wrath of God abides on those who do not know Christ. We were the same way at one time, but he's now forgiven us. Romans 5:1 reads this, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can never make a statement, God is mad at me. You can't do that. You can't find a place in Scripture to prove me wrong. God gets very angry at sin. But all the anger at the sin of our lives, he poured out on Christ on the cross. And when our Lord said, it is finished, he meant it is finished. It's a done deal. The transaction is over. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That alone is enough to bless the Lord for. Who pardons all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. That's not physical diseases. Because we're all going to die. That's the disease of sin. The disease of our hearts and our souls. The disease of all the things that we're so susceptible to and that we're born in naturally. He's forgiven all that. He's healed all that. Not only has he forgiven our sin, but he's healed it within. He redeems our life from the pit. Now that's pretty self-explanatory. Why did Jesus Christ come and die? He came to die not to make our marriages work, or to make our bank accounts big, like it's so perverted now, or not to make people like us. He came to save us from eternal hell. That's what he came for. And he says here, he redeems your life from the pit. And right across my page in Psalm 102, verse 19 and 20 says this, for he, God, looked down on his from his holy height. From heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groanings of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death. Do you remember groaning under the conviction of sin when the Holy Spirit was dealing with your heart? When you came to Christ. Do you remember that?
Appreciate you guys being here. Good to see you. Thank you.
He says here, He set you free who were doomed to death. Now, we're getting close to what the old-time preachers, Brother Don, used to call shouting ground. The ones that used to could shake the windows. Wake up! Come on! I'm trying to be nice to you. I've been rough on you the last 5 or 6 weeks. You got no worry of hell. You got no worry of God's condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Doesn't that create praise and blessing in our heart to God? That's what David's saying here. Here's why you should bless the Lord and praise Him and thank Him. And not go about our day and forget Him. The kindness and abundance of blessings. The reference we just read said He looked down from His holy height. Remember my measurement of the universe now. He sits above it. And He looked down on it. And He looked down on you. And you. And me. And you. And He didn't catch you in some big net. He came for you personally. Just like Jesus walked on the shore that day and went to the boat of James and John. He said, "Follow me." Just like He purposely went to every apostle. "Follow me." He passed by a tax collector's place one day, and there was a man named Matthew there, and He said, "Follow me." And we talked about old Thomas last week. I love him. One of the most faithful of all of them. Let's go die with him. He called him too, and He called you. He didn't leave you to yourself. You know what God's got to do to let somebody go to hell? Nothing. Just leave them alone. Because John chapter 3 says, God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. He sent Him in to save it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And not only does He forgive our sin, not only does He heal our sinful diseases of our heart, not only does He save us from the pit, but what next? He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. You wear a crown of compassion. This isn't something that's going to happen to you. This is how we live now. We live every day as Christians. We walk, we exist on this planet, which is not our home, and our Lord says was not His kingdom, but we live here amongst it, crowned with loving kindness and compassion. I've heard people say, "I want God to treat me fair, not me. I don't want to be treated fair. I want compassion." And beloved, every day, this very instant where you sit and your feet might hurt and your back might hurt and you may be getting over surgery or you may be facing some, there's no telling what it is, but you are bathed. Not just a fact, but you are bathed in loving kindness and compassion. What did you do to cause God to forgive your sin? Nothing. There was nothing you could do. Ephesians chapter 2, corpses can't do anything. He bathed us with loving kindness and compassion. And every day we live in that compassion. We walk around in that kindness. And this isn't just the kindness of a neighbor or the kindness of a family member or a friend. This is the kindness and generosity of the eternal, holy, blessed God that is in each one of us every day. Any one of these would have been plenty to praise the God for. But here we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he satisfies your gears with good things. Now, it may not seem that way. Some of us have had a hard life. Some of you have. According to this world's standards, we have. Some of you have had to get over some pretty bad illnesses. But our years have been satisfied with good things. What are the good things? Where are they found? They are found in Christ. You've been a Christian 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, some of you, maybe. How much more precious are His thoughts to you now than they were when you were a kid? Well, I became a Christian, I didn't even know what a Christian meant. Had no idea. I'd always heard it was a happy-go-lucky, easy life. I found out different. I was a young preacher here, and some of y'all remember it. Hadn't been preaching long. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I don't even know if I believe now what I preached then. And I remember the preacher used to go to the back of the church every Sunday morning and shake everybody's hand when they left. I don't know if they still do that or not, but there I was back there shaking everybody's hand, 27, 28 years old, you know. And this elderly lady, she's about my age now, then, but she was very nice lady. I don't remember her name, but I remember her just as vividly as if it was yesterday. She shook my hand and she said, she wanted to ask me a question. If you preach, everybody thinks you know everything there is to know about the scriptures. I didn't even know where Psalm 103 was back in them days. She said, I don't believe after you become a Christian you can sin again. And you know what I told her? I said, well, let me look into it and I'll tell you. I didn't know. Little did I know. Little did I understand that it's until a person becomes a Christian until they begin to understand what sin is. And when a person becomes a Christian, the light comes on. And what happens when the light comes on in the house? The dirt shows up. My mama was the house cleanest woman I ever saw in my life. And I never saw her do it at midnight with the lights off. Was always there in the day with the windows open where plenty of light was in. And when that light comes in, we understand what sin is. And we know that He satisfies our lives with good things because His forgiveness is constant and continuous. Plus we have one another. Look around. There's nobody here that's famous. And I don't know anything about your personal finances, but I bet there ain't a millionaire among us tonight. And past a few wonderful family members and friends, when we pass on, it ain't going to be long before they're going to say, what was that guy's name? But look what we have. We have each other. He satisfied my years with you. my Christian friends and sisters and brothers who love me and who overlook my inabilities and my errors and who love me anyway and would do anything for me you possibly could. What more satisfaction would I need? I have my family, of course, as a wonderful family as yours are, but I'm talking about us, just this little bunch right here. I don't know anything could be more satisfying. Well, I need to hurry up. Verse 7 says, He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the sons of Israel. You know how we know about God? He told us. Abraham just going along, wasn't doing nothing. He was working and taking care of life and all of a sudden, God says, get up. Get out here to a place where I'm going to show you. The whole world, every family on the earth will be blessed through you. And a few thousand years later, in Bethlehem, a son of Abraham was born. The angel told his mother, you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. We know about that because God told us. He came down to us. We didn't go up to him. He says here he told Moses about him. You know, you ever read, go back and read again. I always give you a reading assignment. Read again Moses calling. He didn't want to go. Neither did I, by the way. He didn't want to go. I come up with all kind of excuses till he finally made the Lord a little mad. But he opened up his understanding. He revealed himself to him, and we know what became of all that. He says he's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. How many times could God get mad at me? I mean, just since I've been sitting here, probably fill up a few hands full. How many times has he been compassionate and slow to anger with you? You know, when you sinned, you didn't get killed, did you? And that's another benefit of his compassion and his mercy is slow to anger. You know, Robin and I raised four children. And I learned patience as a parent. And I think I was a patient man. But I had my limits. God is patient beyond our imagination. Grace every day. He will not strive with us forever, nor will he keep his anger. Our sin can be great sometimes. His discipline is light and momentary. A sin comes through and our conscience immediately tells us. The Holy Spirit, I mean, you know what, you know it. I don't have to tell you about it. You know it. And you can't go on with what you're doing till you get that sin cleared up, right? It happens to all of us. It's not just you. That's how it is. But he'll not always be that way. There's going to be a day come when we're going to be where he is and sin's not going to be any more part of us. We're not going to ever know anything about it again because we'll be in His presence. And then one of the most beautiful verses in all the Scripture. He's not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know, the grace here just keeps boiling to the top. It just keeps overflowing. Not only has He forgiven all our sins, not only has He healed the diseases of our sin, not only has He redeemed our life from the pit and crowned us with love, kindness, He's not even dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If you got what you deserve from God, what would that be? Don't answer me. If you got justice from Him, what would that be? You see, we're all a product of that. He's not dealt with any of us according to our sin. But graciously and compassionately forgiven us of our sin. And then He goes on to try to illustrate it so we can get some kind of an idea of it. Now, you're never going to understand this. I've looked at these verses for years. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love kindness toward those who fear Him. What? He's talking about this love kindness, and now He gets kind of measures it. How high up is the heavens above the earth? I just told you a minute ago, they said if you could go 225 trillion years, you'd still be in the universe. What? And they don't even know. How high up is His forgiveness? How far away or our sin? Our Lord paid the price for our sin. The price of our sin is eternity. Yet He overcame eternity for each one of us. How do you overcome eternity? How do you end forever? I don't know. How do you go beyond forever in the compassion and forgiveness of God? I don't know. Nobody knows. I've got a note here. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's see what we got here. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Go to sleep tonight with this in your heart. He said if every mountain on earth collapsed, my love and compassion for you still won't. If you could measure the eternities of the universe, you would be able to measure the forgiveness or the love kindness that I show towards you. Then he has another one. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. How far do you have to go west till you start going east?
You can't.
Well, you can't. It can't happen. But he says here, the Holy Spirit tells us, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far. That's infinity. No man can measure that. And no man can measure the forgiveness and the grace and the forgiveness of our sin that God has given us. It's unknowable. And I guess he kind of brings it back down to earth where I can kind of understand it. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now I can understand that. I can understand that, because I've had compassion on my children. I had four. One year at Christmas time, I opened my telephone bill, and it was $35 worth of phone calls to a 900 number. Our children were from like 5 to 10, no, 11, something like that. I used to line them all up like this, oldest to youngest, when something went wrong and question them. I didn't make those phone calls. Robin didn't make them. And this is back when $35 was a lot of money. Well, it still is, but I mean, back then. So I started with the oldest one. Did you do it? No, did he? Did you do this? No, sir. Number three, did you do it? No, did he? Number four, I did it. 5 years old. What did you do? I called Santa's workshop. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
Come to find out, there was an advertisement on TV. Call Santa's workshop, 900 number. Down underneath it in little letters, it said, ask your parent. A five-year-old don't read that. I picked him up and I hugged him. I said, don't do it again. See, I can understand that. The next month, there were some more, but they had already been on there, you know, how the billing cycle stopped. So I ended up paying about $50 for that. But I had compassion. I'll never forget that. That's how he has compassion on us. Well, I'm out of time. But one last thing, and I'll encourage you to go home and meditate on the remainder of the psalm. But one last verse. For he himself knows our frame, and he's mindful that we're nothing but dust. He knows who we are. He understands our weakness. He understands the shortness of our prayers. He understands the limit of our interest in things. He knows what it's like in our minds when we sit down to read or the Bible or pray. He knows. He understands how vulnerable we are to sin. He knows. He understands how easily our feelings get hurt. And he knows how weak we are when we ask for forgiveness today and do it again tomorrow. See, he knows all that. He knows we're just a handful of dirt. And the next couple of verses is going to describe that. Our life is just quick. It's gone. But verse 17 says this, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Our lives are nothing. Poof, and it's gone. But the love kindness of the Lord is from eternity to eternity on us. Please go home. Take your time. Go through this again. I didn't tell you everything I wanted to tell you. But it's a wonderful place to rest and refresh ourselves by his grace. Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this beautiful psalm, your mercy, your grace. Let us remember it. Give us the mind to praise you and to thank you. And as we go about our day, just have that attitude in our mind, Lord. And thank you for your love, your compassion, your grace, and your mercy, which is limitless from one end of eternity to the other. We thank you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.